What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening statewide to the Civic Media Radio Network. What is up, WRJN and Racine and Kenosha, the Northwoods? So glad to be with you during this Earth Week. I don't know about where y'all are, but here in southeastern Wisconsin, it started cloudy and awful today. It's 2:06, but right now it's about, 60 degrees and sunny. That's a welcome change, but of course it's Wisconsin, so wait about, 5 hours and we'll all watch the temperatures drop into what I call the miserable range, which is rainy and drizzly and about 40 or lower. That's what we got queued up for the weather later on today. But right now, again, commensurate with the beautiful sunny weather down here in southeastern Wisconsin and our celebration of Earth Week, we've got another packed day for you. I'm going to be joined at the 3 o'clock hour by Melissa Johnson of Wisconsin Greenfire. We're going to be talking about a couple of things that may be very near and dear to each one of you, especially if you spend time in the out of doors. And that is that Greenfire has been working on illegally injured or killed large non-game birds here in the state of Wisconsin. I think that's all something that each of us care about. So many of us, as we've been talking this week, really do as Wisconsinites lean into the natural resources and the great outdoors. It's what we spend a lot of our time recreating outdoors, whether it's the dead of the winter on a snowcat up in the Northwoods or down here enjoying Kettle Moraine State Park on a campsite, in the nice peak of the summer. So we're going to be talking about those illegally injured or killed large non-game birds, as well as this. And I hear about this all the time from my friends and family and folks that I know that are fortunate enough to live on a lake. And that is the impact of wake boats on lake ecosystems. The most frequent complaint I get from folks that live on the lake are the wave runners. Those things fire up at about, 8 o'clock in the morning. You're trying to enjoy your blissful Saturday morning sleeping and off they go. But Melissa Johnson is going to help us break all that down at the 3 o'clock hour. Also, in celebration of Earth Week, if you didn't hear yesterday, I'm doing a little giveaway here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We are going to be giving away trash pickers so that when we're all out enjoying, whether it's the Hank Aaron Trail or a hike out in one of our wonderful state parks or local county parks, take your trash picker along and pick up trash along the way. If you would like to enter to win, we're going to give away three of those this week. Please do so texting via the app. Don't text in just normally. Download that app from your favorite app store for free. And then text Anya, tell her you want that trash picker. Give her your name, your email address, and phone number. And we'll get in touch with you if you're one of the lucky winners this week. So it is Trash Picker Tuesday. It'll also be Trash Picker Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. And you can enter more than once. So don't feel at all hesitant about reaching out to Anya to get a hold of one of those trash pickers so we can all do our very little bit for the great natural resources that we all enjoy and want to conserve as Wisconsinites. Also today, really excited, we've got two tickets to give away for the Brewers game this coming Friday. So that's going to be really exciting. I think they are hosting the Yankees. That game, I believe, is an evening game. We'll try to track down exactly the time. I'm going to pull up the Brewers schedule, or Anya will help me do this so we know exactly what time the game is this weekend on Saturday. But we're going to give away two tickets for that. So once we have the details, we'll share those with you. And then I will give you the word probably this hour as to what you need to do to win those two Brewers tickets. They're good seats. I was lucky enough, Anya and I both last year, to sit in the Civic Media seats one weekend game. Really nice seats. It's down in that section that's right above sort of the main level where the boxes are, but they're the actual seats, not in a box. I don't like watching baseball in a box. I just don't feel like I'm into the game as much. I end up kibitzing altogether too much and partaking of the free booze a little bit too much. So not enough baseball, too much booze. That happens when I'm in one of those boxes, as if there's such a thing when you're watching a team called the Brewers. Somebody should tell Eric Hovde that, who wants to make alcohol illegal. Anyways, I have digressed. It is a 7-10 game this Saturday. They are playing the Yankees. We're going to call it the 14th caller today. How about that on you? Does that work for you? 14th caller today, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But not starting yet. You're going to have to listen to wait when I say go. It will be the 14th caller. So not quite yet. We're going to dive right into what I've got on cue today for everyone. This one has been popping around, this topic, for quite some time. But I believe it was the Washington Post. Yes, the Washington Post last week did a really interesting analysis of state laws, proposed state laws and adopted state laws that either basically threaten librarians with prison in the case of some conservative states, or states that are adopting laws that protect libraries and librarians. And I want to give you the frame for today. I'm going to talk about that analysis. We're going to share some sound with you that Anya was kind enough to find for us. Because here's what this is about, in my opinion. And if you disagree with me, call me up. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you agree, if you want to share a story about how a librarian or a book changed your life as a young person, maybe something that you wouldn't have found at home, or if your home didn't have a lot of books, some librarian, some teacher that gave you a piece of writing that was impactful for you, I'd like to hear those stories. 855-752-4842. But I thought I would begin with a story of mine. Most of you can probably guess, I read a lot of stuff. I've always been kind of a reader. And I'm an only child. So I didn't have siblings growing up. And my neighborhood didn't have a whole lot of kids in it. So my parents were really good about getting me involved in extracurricular activities and getting me in places where I could hang out with other kids. So I hopefully didn't become too self-centered as an only child. But books were often my companions. And I would join these summer reading programs that my local library would have, where they would give you a list of, say, 20 or 30 books that you were going to read over the summer. And I would tear through those. And my particular memory is of the Wauwatosa Public Library, which was more or less walkable, bike rideable, if you will, from my house that I grew up in. And I remember going to the Wauwatosa Library for children's reading hour. And there was a children's librarian that was there almost every time I was there. I unfortunately can't remember her name, but I can tell you what she looked like. She had this wonderful big red curly hair. And if I saw her again today, I would instantly know who she was. Because she was the source of ideas and books and stories that I had never heard before. And I would look so forward to those story hours where she would read to me and a bunch of other kids. And so to me, what this breaks down to is, in very simple terms, freedom of ideas. The freedom to access challenging ideas, controversial ideas, yes, as a child. That freedom is what public libraries stand for. They are an information access equalizer for many, many people, especially because now libraries have many public terminals that you can access for free and get on the interwebs, right? That's such a key thing for folks that don't have internet or have unstable internet. Libraries, to me, and children's libraries especially, and young adult books, including challenging material, represent one of the most fundamental American values, and that's freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and our ability to be challenged by the lived experiences of others in the written word, challenged by ideas that may be new or foreign to us. And it is impossible, in my opinion, to take away the judgment of these people that have studied their entire lives about how to curate a library or how to curate books for children and substitute that by inexpert ad hoc judgments of parents about what should be on the shelves. I'm not suggesting that parents do not have a critical, if not determinative, role in what information their children consume, but you do not get to decide, you do not get to substitute your day-over-day judgments as a parent on what is on the shelves and available to all children. You get to decide what your kid reads, but you don't get to make that determination, however good faith it may be, for all children. And to do so, and in my opinion, the incredibly arbitrary, politically driven way that it's happening right now, is to deprive others of the free access to information, to ideas, and to their own thoughts. That isn't an American value. I don't think it's a Wisconsin value either. Does this become challenging? Is there material that some would consider explicit in books and in children's books and young adult books? Yes. But it is in conference and consultation between parents and their children where that material should be explained or disallowed. It shouldn't ban the book itself for all children. That's the rub. What do you think? Was there a book, a teacher, an experience that you had where you were introduced to new writing, a new idea when you were a kid that made a big difference to you? I want to hear about it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. When we come back, I'm going to dig into this Washington Post article because they're threatening to throw my librarian in prison for a long time for stocking the shelves for all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a couple quick messages and be right back. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking about legislation that's basically moving in two groups through the country. There's legislation that's being introduced to protect libraries and librarians from harassment, from basically the suppression of different ideas. But for whatever, I'm going to assume good faith reasons, some people have problems with as it relates to what children have access to in public, wait a minute, one more time, public libraries. The other group of legislation is basically criminalizing librarians who provide access to books deemed by inexpert non-librarian, non-library studies, folks that they, on their own subjective basis, decide, oh, well, that's explicit. I'm going to use this book only to make an example, to use as an example. It's a book that is at times, and for very good reasons, in my opinion, somewhat controversial. But the book To Kill a Mockingbird has sexually explicit content in it. It also has some, what I would consider to be extraordinarily racially complicated things happening in that book. It should be put on the shelf because of that, so that teachers and those that are experts in early childhood and young adult education can help kids engage with this challenging material. Beloved by Toni Morrison. Another book that frequently makes the book ban lists. Yeah, at the root of that is sexually explicit content. I read that book when I was, I think, in the 8th or 9th grade. it was fundamental to me. It became incredibly important in how I was learning and thinking about things. All of us should care about the freedom of ideas in public libraries. But this is what's being said by those on some, and it's not everybody on the right, but it's these certain pockets of folks on the right. This is a guy, he's a Virginia state representative. I think they call him delegates. Excuse me, his name is Brandon Steele. And he introduced a bill that would allow librarians to be criminally prosecuted for giving, quote, obscene titles to minors, which, by the way, is anybody under the age of 18. I didn't turn 19 in high school until the second semester. He said, quote, it's strictly about pornography. On that limited basis, this law isn't going to have the chilling effect people are worried about. What? First of all, I thought pornography in many instances was pictorial. Just asking. If you want to share a story about a book, a teacher, some moment when you were reading something that was challenging when you were a, quote, minor, please call, text. If you've got questions about this, I want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jeff, one of our regular listeners, cheekily texting in, okay, Maggie, I want to know how I can sue. Now I know why I turned out this way. I was born in 1960 and we read Orwell and all these other damaging books that I see on these lists. Yeah, I mean, somehow all of us that grew up before all these books were banned were screwed up. I will always challenge the idea that access to more information, especially in a public library where the selections are based upon folks that have studied library sciences, they understand, usually there are committees that help decide what's in these collections, that less information or fewer books in the library is going to make us better citizens, better neighbors, better community members. I just don't buy that. And again, I'm not saying that parents shouldn't have a role in what their child reads or shouldn't have a role in helping their child understand challenging, sometimes sexually explicit, sometimes violent content that they read. Of course they should. But your own religious viewpoints, your own moral viewpoints don't get to determine whether or not other people have free access to books and information, have their own freedom of thought, get to see maybe people that look or have experiences similar to them reflected in public library books. This is how a librarian from Connecticut put it. I see an emerging divide about the right to read, the right to access stories about people who are like you and not like you, and the right to be yourself in a public library. I couldn't agree more. This is about our freedoms. This isn't about telling parents how to raise their kids or what ideas they should believe or not believe. You get to do all that just in the privacy of your own home with your own family. This is the thing I don't understand. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, for some reason it crystallized in my head, and maybe I've said it before. This has echoes of the antebellum South, that where abolitionist literature was banned, and of course the it was illegal to teach slaves how to read. I mean, that is this the point where are we reaching a similar situation to that, where they do not want access to information? I mean, that or other ways of thinking about things. I mean, it's just. It's, you know, brought up, you know, in an environment where I was encouraged to read. There was all kinds of books laying around the house when I was a kid. That nothing pornographic was just laying around. But there was stuff there that a lot of these people would consider inappropriate.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem, right, Mark? I mean, when I think about this. In its most distilled down form, what folks, and I think this is, I'm going to, again, grant them the grace of the assumption of good faith, that folks in good faith are doing is saying, there's only one way to think. There's only one set of ideas that are okay to consume. Say what? I just, that should be very frightful for all of us as Americans. Even when we're talking about kids, minors, young adults. It remains my opinion that what we should all be fighting for are more books on library shelves, more books in school libraries, not fewer. That should we should be working to expand the set of ideas, though challenging, though sometimes involving sexual violence or terrible pieces of American history, that we should be exposing children to these ideas more so that they know how to grapple with them and gasp real life. Because these things happen to people. That a white child might understand that a black child has different experiences, different challenges. Why is that not a good thing? When we come back, we're going to listen to some of the sound, some of these speeches, some of these books that people want to ban. So don't go anywhere. Of course, you got your farm update coming up, and I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this sound when we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our discussion, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about book bans, specifically two batches of legislation percolating through the states. One basically is about banning the books and criminally punishing librarians. That's chunk one. Chunk two is actually about protecting libraries and librarians and supporting our shared value of freedom of thought and freedom of access to information. According to PEN America, which is a great resource, by the way, of the books banned nationwide, 41% address issues of race and racism. 33% address LGBTQIA plus themes or have queer characters. And 25% include sexual encounters or information about puberty and relationships. 41% are about issues of race and racism. I want us to just think about that. So yes, I think some of this has to do with some of the hysteria about the LGBTQIA plus community. But the most dominant result is the removing of books that address race and racism. Why? I don't think we become better neighbors, citizens, voters by not talking about race. Why would we want our kids not talking about race? Why would we want our kids to not be exposed to some of the difficult historical moments, personal experiences of people that have dealt with discrimination? I just don't. That's 41% of the banned books. I mean, come on. Jack from Merrimack, you are on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Thank you, Maggie. There's a name for what's happening here. Banning books, censoring materials, refusing to recognize courses that coursework that's approved by the College Board, stuff like that. It's rewriting the narrative of our current reality and rewriting our history. And this is very typical of what's been happening for the last several years. We hear the idea that the January 6th insurrection attempt was just a bunch of normal tourists that sort of got out of hand, or that anything that involves the ex-president and his legal wars is a witch hunt caused by Democrats when it's been the charges have been determined by grand juries, juries of his peers, in fact. It's called re-education, and every single authoritarian government in the history of man has done it. Rewrite history according to your narrative, not what actually happened.
Couldn't agree with you more, Jack. It's a version of re-education, of indoctrination, of there's only one way to think, and anybody that doesn't think that way is evil, the enemy, and should be oppressed, put down, exiled, imprisoned, locked up, or bad, bad people. The reality is it's an American value that our ideas get better, our debates get better when people have more, not less, information to opinions and viewpoints. Text lines blowing up. You can join the conversation via text or call 855-75-CIVIC or free through our app. Next, they'll come for our encyclopedias. Used to check one of those out in elementary school on Friday and read it over the weekend. Heck yeah, most of the pro-ban people, John from Madison writes, have never read the books they fight to ban. Indeed, you are correct, sir. There are now pro-library pieces of legislation that are happening that objectors must prove they actually read the book they are challenging. Gee, wouldn't that be nifty? A good idea. Read what the heck you're talking about. Other versions of these pieces of legislation that are trying to protect libraries mandate that book review committees, to which folks complain or try to get books removed, actually have to, you know, include folks from the LGBTQIA community or Black and brown people. Again, doesn't seem like all that revolutionary of an idea, but it's having to be mandated now. Kurt from Madison pointing out a lot of this is about folks that are uncomfortable about sex, sexuality, talking about it. Yeah, indeed. But of course, that's countered by what we know from Penn, that 41% of the banned books are about race and racism, which is what, I mean, that's really what's going on here. If you go, oh, kids are getting exposed to sexually explicit pornography, blah, 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 you know, our puritanical knee jerk gets activated, right? One thing Americans are uncomfortable about is sex and sexuality. Unless they want to tell women what to do with their bodies, in which case, let's bring out a panel of male religious leaders and we'll sort that right out. But I don't really think it's about pornography or sexually explicit material. It's about racism. That's the majority, by a clip, that's the majority of books that are getting banned. You want to join the conversation, weigh in here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie. It seems to me this is all about minority rule. I was reading something in Mother Jones recently that pointed out, they had a chart, and the not so much just Christian, but the religious right has an overwhelming kind of unbalanced power in the Senate, the House, like local government and things. And even before Trump, they had this overweight balance of power. And now they're using Trump and fascism to kind of further put the nail in the coffin for the secular world, because they don't like the shrinking numbers of people in churches, and they reject the modern world outright. And getting rid of books and all this is just part of just another part of it. They just outright reject all of this, and they think getting behind Trump is the best way to push their worldview on the rest of us. And we,
yeah, I think that's the whole point. I forget when secularism became like a dirty word. I thought separation of church and state was a founding principle. I thought the whole point was go practice your faith in your chosen house of worship and in your home, in the privacy of your own home. But we're not going to make public policy based on religious viewpoints. Again, when did secularism become a problem? What Matt's describing, what one of our prior callers are describing, is what I'm calling Christian nationalism. That we want a particular strain of Christianity to now define all of our laws, all of our government activities, all of our public policy. And by it's a particular strain of Christianity. And it's not Catholic, very narrow. And guess what it is? Pro-male and pro-white. Pro-male and pro-white. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to come back to that very concept a little bit later in this program. Keith from Middleton, and then we're going to take some of the sound on you. You decide which ones are the juiciest bits that we want to share with folks. Keith from Middleton, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, Maggie, good afternoon. So I'm guessing that you have read the book 1984 by George Orwell.
Yep.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not, in my opinion, it's not about them changing anybody's minds and taking away things. It's about control. And the more that they can get us fighting about books or about trans kids or about busing, going way back, the busing in schools, it takes our attention off the big prize, which is in 2016, I was screaming from the rooftops, we cannot have Trump as president of the United States in 2016. And people far left were, oh, Jill Stein's better for us than Hillary Clinton. But you know what, folks? Jill Stein was never going to win.
Yep. Keith, I agree with you. And I talked about back in 2016, we got to be adults when we get into voting booths. This isn't the time for sending a message to Democrats. You do that by electing Democrats and then lobbying them and talking to them and demanding more and high levels of accountability. You don't like what Democrats are doing? Then tell them how you want it to change. We do it through marching and petition writing. But that's the second order issue. The first one is to avoid mind control. Because that's what this is. It's mind control. Folks, also, I got a couple texts about how do I get the trash picker, because I'm giving those away. Text in through the app. Give Anya your name, email, and phone number, and you will be entered to win one of the trash pickers. I wanted to share with you some of the sound. Anya, I'm going to let you cue up, tell folks what we're listening to, and then let's take a listen together.
All right, so this first clip is from a reel that was put out by the Moms for Liberty in Seminole County, and I think it really highlights some of this other audio you're going to hear, which is these folks who want these books banned are going into school board meetings and reading clips of books out of context, and hear it from her own words, these instructions.
Hi guys, Jessica Tillman, Moms for Liberty, Seminole County. I just wanted to give an update on the meeting for tomorrow. Yes, the books are still on the shelves as of September 18th at 10 a.m. They still have them on the shelves, so we proceed with reading. We want to remind you that if you want to get a form from the back of the room, you need a non-agenda item form. You fill that out, you give it to Jill, the clerk. The worst of the worst of the books we gave you, that way you will guarantee to get shut down. You have a potty list on at the end of your excerpt that you can just read straight from that. And then,
so that's kind of the big thing to me, the potty list that you can select from. So you don't even have to read these awful books.
Don't read what you're trying to ban.
No.
I mean, don't actually know what you're talking about. Just pontificate.
Exactly. And here are some of those parents in action going to schools and reading some of these excerpts from the potty list.
Oh, here we go. On page 25, it starts. I swear their relationship is based on those f***ing blowjobs. And she grabbed his penis with her hands and started moving it.
Page 59. He had a dirty picture of a woman attempting sexual intercourse with a Shetland pony.
So it's this shock factor stuff these parents are sent in with. But of course, they're reading things out of context from books that they've never themselves read.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was a good get. This is cut four. It's from Field of Dreams. Most of us have seen this. Let's take a listen. Field of
Dreams has no place in our schools.
Fascist. I'd like to ease her pain.
Mrs. Kesenick, that book you're waving about is hardly smut. It is considered by many critics to be the classic novel about the 1960s.
It's pornography!
No. The Supreme Court says it's not. And its author, Mr. Mann...
He is sick!
Terrence Mann is a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he is widely regarded as the finest satirist of his time.
Yeah, well, I think he's a pervert. He's probably a communist, too.
I mean, I'm sorry, was that recorded in Seminole County? No, it's from a movie. Trying to show how ridiculous that perspective is. One book that continually gets put on these lists is a graphic novel by a man named Arthur Spiegelman, which I read when I was in high school. It's a graphic novel called Mouse, in which he shares his and his family experience. Back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking this hour about book bans. If you'd like to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We're on our last segment on this topic. So if you got thoughts, you're going to want to get them in right now. I had to say for last the legalities of what's going on here. In the category of legislation that's moving through two banned books, and to scare the bejiggers out of librarians, they basically tend to operate in one way. Now, there's some variation on theme, but they basically do one thing almost universally. And that is that they eliminate a long ago established exemption for criminal prosecution over the dissemination of obscene material to minors. Okay. And it applies generally, that exception, that exemption, to librarians, sometimes teachers, sometimes museums. And so by removing this, now, what's that law intended to criminalize? The creepy guy on the internet that stalks your kid and gives them porno, which is clearly visual porno, all kinds of the bad child abuser types. The reason that those exemptions were written in decades ago is because we didn't want censorship. We didn't want mind control. And these penalties, Arkansas passed a bill last year, said school and public librarians can be imprisoned for up to 6 years. 6 years. The tens of thousands of dollars in possible penalties. If you want to check out the database on this, the Washington Post has got it. The title of the article is Red States Threaten Libraries with Prison as Blue States Work to Protect Them. Article is April 16th, 2024. In the state of Wisconsin, Republicans have introduced 7 such bills. And, one of them threatens librarians with imprisonment. That's what the GOP is busy doing here in Wisconsin. There's also, if you go to the Children's Defense Fund, they have a link to basically a database of banned books. It includes Mouse, which I just referenced, a graphic novel about the Holocaust. It includes this, 100 questions you'd never ask your parents. Straight answer, straight answers to a teen's questions about sex, sexuality, and health. It includes the book 1984, 2001, A Space Odyssey, 37 Things I Love, 50 Paintings You Should Know. I mean, I'm reading them because they're organized alphabetically. So you start with the numerical ones. I mean, here was one famous person's response to these book bans. Because, of course, leading the charge, Ron DeSanctimonious in Florida. So Pink, the artist Pink, I'm a big fan of, she went out there and said, listen, Ron DeSantis is busy banning books. I'm going to give them away at my concerts in Florida. And she put this up on Instagram. This is going to be cut number 5, Anya. This is Pink, November of this past year, in response to Florida's book bans.
You know, my mom called me, 4 or 5 or 6. I have no concept of time, but maybe let's say 4 or 5 or 6 months ago. And she said, honey, this is how the Holocaust started, when they started burning books. And that's a really scary thing to hear from your old Jewish mother. But I'm a voracious reader, and I'm a mom of 2 kids who are also voracious readers. And I can't imagine my own parents telling me what my kids can and cannot read, let alone someone else's parents, let alone someone else that doesn't even have children that are deciding what my children can read.
Yeah. Why do you decide what your kids read? Why do you get to decide what my kids read? That's anti-American. The idea here is that we should be promoting more freedoms, and where there are legitimate, oftentimes religious-based differences of opinion, the errors should be made not on the side of control, and I'm going to tell you what to do with your body, ladies, or I'm going to tell you what you can read, kids. The errors should be made in favor of freedom. I used to think that was a core fundamental principle that most conservatives and libertarians, good Lord, believed in. Where is the cognitive dissonance? And I don't believe that most of these people are operating in bad faith. Some of them are, right? Because they want to, it's for personal, performative political gains, which translates into more clicks, and you get a job with Moms for Liberty, and you get paid $500,000 a year for promoting anti-vax nonsense. That's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., right? So there are some people that are operating in that space. But I think a lot of this is to scare folks. It's for the shock value, the sound that Anya shared with us. And it's to create false divisions where there were none. For decades, we all seem to operate just fine. I mean, holy cow, you're worried about what books are in libraries when the kid can surf the internet on the phone you just bought them? I mean, give me a freaking break. Worry about what's happening on the internet. Worry about the fact that hate speech of all kinds of varieties are getting fed to kids. That should be where our concern is, not banning books. That's just craziness. Elon Musk, no problem. Let him put whatever crazy hate speech he wants onto X for your kids to find at their fingertips. But let's be sure that books about the Holocaust and the difficult moments that Black and brown folks have had throughout our history, the oppression, the internment of the Japanese, the genocide against First Nation people, let's be sure that information is not available to kids in public. I said public libraries. Thanks, everybody, for a lively discussion this afternoon. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up next, I'm going to be joined by my guest, Melissa Johnson of Wisconsin Greenfire. We're going to talk about the killing of non-game birds and how wake boats are impacting our lake ecosystems. Two things that I think most of us here in Wisconsin care deeply about. Don't go anywhere. News, sports, and weather is up next. I'm going to tell you how to win those Brewers tickets after this break. Stay tuned, everybody. More coming your way here on the Civic Media Radio Network.